Hey everybody, let's get this party started. Hope y'all are ready to talk about some basics. Let me get my notes up. I was just on another call, so I didn't have a chance to get my notes pulled up before I got in here, as usual. On Wednesdays, I tell you, I start early. I will say this though, I got a little behind this morning because I'm working on body image camp. My word, I'll tell y'all, I am learning so much. I'm learning so much about body image that I literally sit around and think all the time about how, number one, this stuff needs to be taught to more of our kids. Number two is I wish that I had known this stuff sooner. Like I just keep thinking all these years that I have beat myself up, and I am just finding all these reasons why that happens and stuff. It's just giving me so much like insight. Like, I will tell you one of the things that my goal for body image camp for all of you, and this is my goal for all of you when it just comes to no BS period, whether you are, whether we're talking about your eating, your food, or whatever, the more information we get that explains like why we are or why we think the way we do. It levels like it takes a level of judgment out. It takes a piece of I don't know why this has happened. I mean, I want you to think about all like when we talk about like enough, I think today is stopping at enough with good food. And when we think about that, we spend so much of our time frustrated because I just don't know why I can't stop doing this. And then that leads to there must be something wrong with me. We're not even dealing with the problem. We are sitting around thinking like we're frustrated and uncertain, and our brain is in misery because it's like, I don't know why this is happening. So if we fill that hole, like, no, this is why this is happening, then we get some immediate relief right there. Like, oh, okay. And then when we feel that, then that takes away the I must be broken. Something must be wrong with me because I'm doing this. This means I am. And almost at the heart of everything that you are working on, anything that we can find where you are applying, when this thing happens, when I think this, when I do these things, I turn it around and say, on the inside, that must mean I am, and it's negative. The more we like clear up all that stuff, the more your self identity starts improving. Because it's really hard for you to ever feel like, let's say you have a hard time stopping at enough with something that tastes good. Let's pretend we're all eating Cheetos. And we all love Cheetos. If you don't love Cheetos, then insert Milk Duds. We are picking some of Corinne's favorite foods today. And let's say we all have a hard time doing it, but we don't know why. So if we don't have a logical explanation, what do? Well, it must mean like I'm lazy. It must mean that I'm a gluttonous. I'm gluttonous. I'm not like everybody else. And when we do that to ourselves, we feel like shit. And then, but if we can take like our overeating on things and we start understanding, this is why it's hard to stop. Here's all the things that happen that make these things hard to stop on the inside. Then we remove the I am gluttonous, I am stuff. It's like, oh, this makes sense why this happens. Now you're left with just figuring out, now how do I stop it knowing these things? Because a lot of you are trying to stop it enough with good food without understanding why it's so hard to begin with. And if you don't understand why it's hard to begin with, it could lead you to feeling really bad about yourself. And that's what we're really going to be talking about today. So let me go to my notes. I've got notes here, but I also pulled up some notes this morning on my phone. I'm telling y'all, I am ridiculous. Whoops, hang on. My phone is like playing music. It's not supposed to. I saved a bunch of stuff today for us. Okay. Put this right here. So I got all my speaking notes. So for all of you, we are in the middle of the second week of January, where we are doing our deep dive into all things the basics. We're going to talk about stopping in enough today. We are also doing the No BS Hunger Game Challenge. So if you don't know, each week we are focusing on some new aspects of the basics for all of you, and we're challenging you to keep track of data all month long. So there are going to be a lot of pop-up posts going on in the Facebook group. So if you are in the main Facebook group, make sure you're checking, because the coaches are doing some fun questions. There's chances to win prizes. The coach has been working really hard on making this month fun for y'all. Here's how this call works. Y'all have got the chat. Coach Betsy's over there typing in all caps and giving you links and stuff that's important. She's also in the Q&A. So if there's questions at the end, I will answer them. Betsy may be answering some of the questions for you, but if it pertains to this topic, she'll probably save a couple for me. All right. And if you want information on the Hunger Games and all that kind of stuff, just go to this month in No BS when you log into nobswomen.com. All right. The number one thing, like, let's talk about stopping at enough and do a real deep dive into what goes on for us. The first thing is, it is normal to want to keep eating something that tastes really good for one simple fact. You've got momentum. I just want you to think about, if you were on a swing and you needed to dead stop, isn't it really hard? Like, you're probably going to blow your knees out if you have to like dead stop if you're in a full swing. Once you have momentum with food, it just can be harder to stop because you're already eating. Like, it doesn't always mean that something's wrong with you, that you're bad. It doesn't always mean this food is controlling you. Like, I just want all of you to just take a breath and ask yourself this. What if nothing is wrong with me? What if there's a plausible explanation as to why, when something tastes really good, it could be hard for me to stop eating it? So as you're listening, I want y'all to really be thinking about this. So the first one is just knowing that once you start eating something and you get momentum, it's not as easy to stop than it is to, like, I want you to think about, there's two, like, if you start eating a food that tastes really good and it wasn't on your plan, one thing you can tell yourself before you eat it is just to say, it could be hard for me to stop if I break my plan, not because the food tastes good, but because momentum has kicked in. It's going to be harder to stop something once it gets in motion. So do I want to stop it now, or do I want to try to stop once I get in motion? And this is really helpful for a lot of you who, you don't have a lot of shit like going on emotionally with food. It's just like, it does taste good. You have habits. You might mindlessly eat and stuff. But giving yourself, like, you know how, like, we all have that little excuse that pops up in our head that says things like, well, I'll just eat a little. And a little is never what happens. This is that moment where you want to tell yourself, Corinne, let's not lie. If we get started, it's just going to be hard to stop. You've not actually been, you've never once shown me that you were the person who started eating and it was just easy to lay it down once you got started. I would tell myself the truth. I would just narrate it in my head. Like, I love those memes where they'll say, you know, like, Corinne sat there. Like, it's like a narrator, like, think of, you know, your best narrator voice. She was looking at her milk duds thinking, I'll just have a couple and then I'll put it back. And like, she imagines herself floating to the pantry, putting it back like a peaceful angel. And then it's like the dun, dun, dun music comes in. It's like, but that didn't happen. She did like she always does. Grabbed the milk duds, hit the couch, woke up 3 hours later with chocolate all over her face. Like, we just want to be honest with ourselves. You do not have to be demeaning. You do not have to be mean. You do not have to be like abusive. You do not have to be demanding or whatever, but we could tell ourselves the truth in a way that gives us a fighting chance. Like, you're probably not going to do that. So let's just be honest. If you start eating your milk duds, it's just going to be really hard to stop because they do taste good. Once something's in motion, it's a lot harder. And in the past, you haven't stopped. So do you want to stop? Do you want to stop now? Or do you want to try to stop knowing it could be difficult? Sometimes giving ourselves those compassionate, truthful things helps us make a decision before we get started. Now, that doesn't help us though with planning food that we love, because guess what? We want to be planning milk duds. Hell, I got a Carmelo sitting in the pantry right now. I literally bought a Carmelo. I like Carmelos too. When Carmelo is a good substitute for a milk dud, just in case anybody's wondering, when you can't get the duds. And so Christmas, Logan loves gas stations. He is fascinated by gas stations. Every time he goes out someplace to drive by himself, he stops at a gas station just to walk around and see what goes on in there. He just thinks gas stations are crazy. And so on Christmas, you know, you ain't got shit to do. We went to the Curry House for lunch. And on the way home, I was like, I have an idea. You want to stop at a gas station? And he was like, yeah, I do. So we all go in, and Chris and I bought candy. Logan bought some candy. And I think I got a Diet Sprite. Came home. Well, I wasn't hungry. I was like, all right, well, I'll eat, you know, whenever I get hungry, I'll have it. That thing is still sitting in there. Now, let me tell you why it's still sitting there. Not because it's bad, not for any reason other than I just haven't thought about it that much. But when I have it, I do want it to be planned, because here's the thing. I don't eat candy that often anymore. And it's not because candy's bad. It's just because I got other goals in my life. I've got other pleasure in my life. I've got other joys in my life. It used to be candy was really important to me. I needed my candy fixes. I needed my ice cream fixes. I needed those things because when I looked at the landscape of my life, guess what was missing? Joy, pleasure. I didn't have things I really looked forward to. I just went to work every day. I didn't take stock of my family. Like, I just sat around and just, it was just like, I just tried to survive each day instead of trying to figure out what life do I want to be living? How do I want to make my life a little bit easier? Like I talk to Chris all the time. Like, we do marriage tune-ups constantly. I tell him constantly about little things that he could say or do that would just go a long way. He doesn't do all of them, but I have these open conversations. I never feel like I'm just sitting around waiting for someone to meet my expectations. I at least lay them out. And if he doesn't choose to meet them, then I can decide what I want to do. Like, I have just cleaned so much stuff up. So that's why I don't have that pull. That's why for one of the other things that happens when it comes to stopping at enough with food that tastes good, for some of you, it's hard to stop because that may represent the only joy and pleasure you're really getting in your life. It may be the only time in your life that you relax. It's the only time in your life that you allow yourself to take a break. And I want you to think about this. If that's the only time is with food you really enjoy, that you get to feel peace, connected, joy, pleasure, comfort, anything like that, it makes it so hard to stop eating it because your brain is not fixated on the food. A lot of you, the worst thing that you tell yourself is it's hard to stop because it tastes so good. It's hard to stop because of what it represents. So for some of you, this is going to be some of the journaling that you can do. These foods that you keep saying are hard to stop, ask yourself, what does this food really represent in my life? If it's my only joy, then I know why it's actually hard to stop, because when I stop eating it, I'm pulling the plug on the only joy I get. I'm pulling the plug on the only time I get to rest. If you have a hard time stopping at enough at dinner, and the only time you really get time for you or time with your family stuff is when you eat, then now you're pulling the plug on all of that. So what is the solve for that one? One would be asking yourself, where am I going to get joy in life? Why am I afraid to create more? What do I keep telling myself that's like, what things would I love to be doing? And why am I telling myself I can't have it? What prevents me? Like, where do I need to be more courageous, brave, scared, fearful to go after some of this stuff that I'd really like? What kind of rules and expectations in my life do I need to let go of? So many of you, I want to applaud one of the Nobius women. I don't remember who you were, but I was reading the other day that you really wanted to eat, and you were really seeing that the only reason why you wanted to eat was because the house needed to be cleaned, and you didn't want to clean the house, but you also felt like it had to be done. And that you stopped for a moment and just said, I'm not eating. I'm either going to clean the house because it actually has to be done, or I'm going to let it go as it is. And I'm going to do what I really wanted to do, which is go watch some TV. I did not feel like cleaning. And when I really looked at it, I realized nothing bad was going to happen if I didn't clean house today. The worst thing that was going to happen was I was going to judge myself for being lazy, feeling guilty as if I should do it, or thinking something about me. I am bad. I am lazy, or I am whatever, simply because I'm going to watch TV versus cleaning my house tonight. And she made the choice to watch the damn TV. And I want to tell all of you, there are going to be times we have to clean our house and stuff. But what most of us are doing is we are eating away our life to avoid making decisions that might be even better for us. Like learning how to sometimes say, well, here's a good question. Why do women feel guilty when we do what we want? Because we think what we want is not as important as what others want, usually. We are very socialized to believe that. We were the home takers, like up until the 50s, like before the 50s, basically. Women were like, that was our role. That was our job. Then we get to where we go to work, but they didn't ever take away our role of taking care of others. It's in a woman's like DNA through like caveman times to be the one that like we birth the children. So there's like this something baked into our DNA about we are the people who take care of people. And when we went to work, the workload wasn't switched. We just got two jobs. You're going to go to work, and then you're going to come home, and now you're going to go to work. Because like for a long time, men, they went and worked because they had a maid, the wife. It was easy for them to go and work and bring home the money and stuff because they had someone who was raising children. Like it was almost like, you know, your employee was like you, we were all employed to take care of the home. Well, then when we both had to start working, only one of us, until recent history, picked up the slack. That's one of the things. And women have been socialized and conditioned to believe that when we take a break, that somehow that's being lazy or whatever. Like somebody said, my mom, like these are the things you just want to notice. Okay, so let's get back to food though. So you need to figure out what stands in the way. If it's because your mom always said, you know, a man really wants a well taken care of house, and that's the woman's job, and you were brought up that way. Whatever we hear and we see, we take it in, and it becomes an unspoken rule. And so it doesn't mean your mom was bad. Your mom, most of our mothers literally are just operating based on what society before them told them. It's not like they were like, okay, now I've had a child. What are all the ways that I can try to ruin them for the rest of their life? Here's all the expectations and shit I will put on them in hopes that they're going to need therapy and that they're going to have problems and that they'll never like the way they look. Like, moms are not really doing that. Usually what moms are doing are regurgitating what they've seen and heard, or overcorrecting from what they've seen and heard. Because at one point they were a small child taking in everything and making it mean all kinds of shit. So the way I like to look at it is, where did all this begin? And I like to do it without blaming. I have never thought that when we journal about, you know, like I don't want to sit and say the reason why I suffer with body image is because mammy said all these things. And that means that should never have happened. That's blaming. Being mad about it and stuff is blaming. I recognize there were a lot of the things that I think and believe to this day stemmed from witnessing and hearing and seeing the way my mother was. But I don't do it in a way of like, it's her fault. I do it in a way as like, oh, and that makes sense why I am the way I am. And I'm 49 years old. And if I don't like the way I am and I don't like the way I view things, that is on me to change. That's just on me to work on it, figure out how do I want to think and feel about all this stuff. Because the more energy you spend in the blame, the less time you spend in your power to make better changes for yourself today. All right. So we've got a couple of things. We got number one, which is once momentum kicks in with food that tastes good, it could be hard to stop. So we want to, when we have an urge to eat something off plan, we want to tell ourselves, hey, if you're making promises that you're just going to have a little, that's never worked, rarely ever worked. It's worked so few times that it's not even worth trying. It's a lot of energy to stop it. Once you gather momentum, it will be hard. If it's something that you've planned and it's momentum, just knowing as you're going in saying like, okay, I'm fixing to eat something that tastes really good. I really enjoy it. In the past, it's been hard to stop. I want to just remind myself of different things I can try to slow momentum down. I want you to think about it like the swing. You're probably going to have to scoot your feet a few times in order to slow it down. That could be taking the food that you really like. Like if you really like chips, for God's sakes, don't eat them out of the bag. Portion them out. Go sit somewhere far away from them because you have less momentum. I want you to think about it. Once you start eating, you may eat the small bag, but if you want more, you're actually going to have to physically restart yourself. That's why a lot of times portioning things that we have a harder time stopping at is a really good technique. It's not about the calorie counting and stuff. It's more about giving yourself the opportunity to have lots and lots of little points where you stop eating and have to, your reasoning brain has to come back online and you have to think about doing it again. All right. The second thing is just knowing that, you know, like if you're eating something that tastes good and pleasure and joy, that's what it's representing, that could be really hard. So here's the next one. You've got to create safety around stopping at enough. Because a lot of times what we don't have is we have these things that we're afraid of, and that's what makes it really hard. So for example, there is something called mental restriction, which means if you're eating something that tastes good, but the entire time you're telling yourself, whatever you do, don't overeat it. You know, this is, you know, you're being really bad, but you did plan it. It will be hard to stop it enough. One, because when you're mentally restricting while you're eating, guess what you're not feeling? The pleasure and the joy that you planned to eat the food with. Your body notices something's missing. It is like, something's wrong. I don't feel safe. I thought this was supposed to be a good experience. This is anything but a good experience. It will cause you to do frenzied eating. It makes you want to eat it faster. And it will make you want to eat more, because all it's trying to do is figure out, how do I get what I thought I would get? So it's really important that you practice making sure that you don't, like, you want to figure out, where am I mentally restricting around my foods? Hanging on to the idea that Milk Duds are bad, Cheetos are bad, these things aren't, they're not good for me. We have to expand our definition of what is good for you. You know what's not good for you? To spend your entire life stressed out around food. That is going to be way more detrimental to you, to your heart health and your mental health, than eating some of the foods you love when you plan them, regardless of their nutritional value. Here's another thing about food. Y'all get so hammed up. Like, I love it when y'all say, mostly healthy. Do you really? I really want you to think about this. You know what healthy eating is to me? It is not limited to the quality of the food. Healthy eating to me is not eating in an anxious state. Like, we have to expand, what does healthy mean? Healthy to me also means never making an excuse to overeat something simply because it's healthy. Like, healthy eating needs to be redefined by most of us. It is a bigger definition than just, it's the food pyramid or whatever. I don't even know what they do now, whatever the government says. It's not just what comes out of health books. It's not just what the latest diet trend says is good for you. That is a myopic, I think that's the right word, for like thinking about this. Health takes into consideration almost all kinds of things. Enjoyment, pleasure, nutrition, energy, digestive health, your culture. It takes into consideration all kinds of your emotions. So like, somebody was just joking, I think it was just Jean, she's just joking over there, like, oh, so no more big ass salads. Like, those are nutritionally good for you. They're probably, for most of us, energetically good for us. They're probably digestively good for us. But I will tell you when a salad's not good for Corinne. If I am, let's say I go on vacation and, well, okay, so not this weekend, but next weekend, I'm going to be in Vegas with one of my dear friends in the entire world. She's turning 50. And we are going to a steakhouse. If I'm going to a steakhouse for a 50th birthday, having a salad that night and not enjoying anything else is emotionally unhealthy. That is not what I want. They don't even have, like, what are they, what is a steakhouse going to be really good at? Steak and other shit. Guess what? They're probably not, they're going to have throwaway salads at best. It's not emotionally, socially, pleasure and joyfully healthy anymore. It's not what I want to do in those situations. It's not who I want to be in those situations. So what we have to be thinking about is, like, it's just a bigger discussion. So it can be hard to stop it enough for a lot of you if you're not expanding what you think healthy actually is. Somebody said they could have an awesome wedge shack. I mean, they could, but I'm just going to tell you right now, y'all, I'm going to Vegas for a 50th birthday party at a really baller steakhouse. There's no salad that's ever going to taste so good that I am going to sit there and be like, that was worth it. That was so much better. It's not what I want for that night. I know 2 weeks out, I want to be sitting in that restaurant with a fat steak. And I mean, like, I want like a ribeye. They better have some fat on it or I'm not going to be happy. I'm probably going to want a loaded potato. I'm going to want to try dessert. Like, to me, like, I'm planning the fun ahead of time. Do you know why I have no problems losing weight and keeping it off? Because I plan nights like that. And then I have 2 weeks now to really look forward to it. I'm going to experience joy and pleasure all the way there. Instead of what a lot of y'all do, you'll plan that night. Instead of really looking forward to it, you'll spend 2 weeks thinking, I hope I don't overeat. You know, I'm really going to be having all the bad foods. I hope I don't come home and have gained weight. You'll spend 2 weeks full of anxiety, wondering if you should order a salad. Probably not be able to stop it enough while you're there because now you've built it up to this big ass thing and you've just sucked it all out. That's not healthy. It, like, this is the things that we want to be thinking about when it comes to stopping at enough. We're not stopping at enough because we're broken or food tastes so good. That is the easy way out. It is a lot easier to sit around and feel sorry for yourself and to keep thinking you're broken and just keep eating. It's easy to blame food because if food's the problem, then you can't do anything about it. Do you know what's hard? Expanding your definition, understanding all of this, working really hard at changing how you feel around food and stuff so that you can have a better relationship with it. So when we also talk about safety, it's not just the mental restriction. It, you know, like, part of it is that we have to feel safe around these good foods because one of the things that we do is when we, like, if you will work on, first and foremost, reminding yourself that I want to listen for any time I'm mentally restricting. I want to listen for things where I am saying stuff like, this is bad for me. We want to watch out for it and redirect our brain because without that, the moment you feel guilty for eating, because this is the thing, if you go into these meals feeling like you shouldn't be eating it, that it's like, this is the bad food, all this other stuff, then now we introduce guilt. Now I feel guilty. Why do I feel guilty? Because I'm being bad. Because this is wrong of me. I shouldn't be doing this. And when that happens, we set ourselves up for fuck it eats. And then what happens with a fuck it eat is that we just keep going. So we were trying to stop ourselves from getting into fuck it land. But let's pretend this is another way that you can create safety around food. This is another way that you can prove to yourself that when foods taste really good, that you can stop. A lot of us, we think the only solution to being able to stop when food tastes good is to not have it at all. Just don't start. I don't want you living a life where you can't be around your favorite foods. I want you to have a life where you're around your favorite foods. When you really want to eat them and you love your reasons for it, you're doing it. And when you don't love your reasons for it and you're around them, that you're not fucking miserable because you're not going to do it. You may not like saying no to yourself, but you're not feeling deprived and restricted. That's the goal. So One of the best ways to prove to yourself that food has a lot less power over the over you than you think is that once you are fuck it eating and you know you're doing it, is to give yourself the opportunity to say, oh, I never needed to feel guilty about the food in the first place. The only reason why I'm hurriedly eating it now is because of that. I can stop. I have not ruined my diet. I have not done any kind of long-term damage. There is nothing I've done in this one sitting. Like, this one meal is one of thousands of meals I am going to eat in the future. I don't have to make it as big a deal as I'm making it. Let's just stop. And the more you teach yourself to be able to stop when you are overcome with guilt or you are catching yourself in that, that teaches your brain that food doesn't have the power. You always have it. Because that is actually the truth. Here's how we know. I am fucking starving right now. Not joking. I got up this morning. I'm going out of town on Thursday, which means Chris Crabtree woke me up this morning. I think we can all figure out what Corinne was doing between 5 and 6 a.m. And it wasn't working. Well, I was working, but I wasn't working. I wasn't working on body image camp. Then I had to like jump right into body image camp because I've got deadlines. Then I had to get ready because I had calls starting at 8 o'clock in the morning. I've not had a chance to eat. Guess what? If food really had control, if food really had power, I'm thinking about it right now. I can tell you everything in there that tastes so good. Not one thing has ran in here and jumped in my mouth yet. Not those bagels are not microwaving themselves and coming in here and plopping themselves down. There is nothing in the kitchen that's going to sprout legs. That is how we know food cannot control you. This is a better way to start creating safety around food. Rather than saying, these foods control me, start saying, sometimes I feel out of control around them. We have to at least start somewhere, y'all. You have to, if you ever want to have a better, different relationship with food, that means you cannot keep talking about it the way you talk about it right now. Because the way you're talking about it right now just keeps you stuck with where you're at currently. I'm going to say it one more time. Instead of thinking, food controls me, it tastes too good or whatever, say, sometimes I feel out of control around certain foods. They do taste good, but I'm working on it. I'm learning things. Just always remind your brain that you're learning things, because it's not good enough to just sit here and listen to what I talk about and never, ever think about it again. It's in those moments when the old thoughts come back, you have to say, wait a minute, that's not true. I remember Corinne saying, this is what's actually true. This could be going on for me. This might be what's happening right now. That's where you start getting authority and control. I think what y'all want to do sometimes is hear a class and then be like, I'm so confused as to why my brain keeps thinking the way it always does. I thought your class would fix me. All my classes do is introduce you to things that you have to remind yourself of later. That's what the classes are for. That's why I talk about this stuff all the time. I'm here to introduce you to thousands of different ways to think about things so that when you get caught thinking the way you normally do, you remind yourself of what you've learned. This could be what Corinne was talking about. Let's see. One other thing to really pay attention to when it comes to not being able to stop at enough. Well, there's two more little things I want to mention. One is some of you hate wasting food. Figure out why you hate wasting food. A lot of it's rooted in childhood. It's just what you were told and stuff. But as adults, I always say this, and I will always stand true with this, because I am one of those people who does not like wasting food either, that I will never get to a point to where I waste less food if I just keep overeating. Like, if you're really concerned about wasting food, then tell yourself the truth. When I overeat, that's also wasting food. Cleaning my plate is not morally better. I want you to think about this. Cleaning your plate and putting extra food in your body that's going to require you to maybe one day take meds, give you heartburn, add weight that you don't want, cause you emotional distress and stuff, is emotionally expensive. Throwing it away can feel wasteful. But what I would rather y'all do is stop being emotionally wasteful for a while so that you can learn how much less food you really need to buy. So that you can learn how much food you really need to serve yourself. So that you can quit cooking so much, ordering so much. You will save money eventually. That food that you keep overeating is the biggest waste of your life that will ever happen. So that would be what I would tell myself, is every time I'm afraid that I'm wasting food, just like, is that really true? What are all the costs involved in eating everything on my plate, in finishing this? Look at all of it, not just like, I'm going to feel really bad for throwing that away, because my mom was really, she grew up poor and she had a lot of thoughts about it. She passed all her shitty ass thinking around food to me. At some point, y'all have got to stop the generational curses of poverty that our ancestors felt. We are not living in the same depression age that a lot of, so much of what this, they call it like generational trauma. So much of the beliefs that we have around food was because of generational trauma experienced in the 20s, in the 30s, in the 40s, during that, when the world was in that big crisis. I'm not saying that we are like, even in our recession times, even in the financial times that we have now, it is nothing like it was then. Nothing. But those traumatic moments, those lessons, that fear got passed down through words like clean your plate, let's not waste. I want you to remind yourself, I may not be in the same crisis that my ancestors were. And if you are in a financial situation where you need to be very aware of everything you're spending, overeating is expensive. Your argument cannot hold water. You continuing to overeat does not help your financial situation one bit. You learning how to stop doing that and eat to what your body needs will help your financial situation if you're that interested in wasting food. All right. The very last thing is about snacking. So often we're snacking on our favorite foods because we're procrastinating. We're looking for a way to just give ourselves a boost to do something. We're trying to reduce the cortisol in our body because we're stressed out and we're rewarding ourselves for doing hard things. The big thing is, first of all, when it comes to snacking, let's just start with like a tactic. Portion snacks. Do not have free-for-all with snacking. You're setting up momentum on top of having a huge mental reward for doing the snacking to begin with. If it's going to get you out of doing something that you perceive as painful, that is a huge reward. So the last thing you want to do is be snacking in an endless bag or bowl of something while getting a big fat payoff to not have to work. The other thing is when you want a snack and you know that you're not truly hungry, ask yourself, what is it that I really need in this moment? If food is not the answer. If you are at work, it may be you need to take a break, but maybe you're ashamed. You're like, I don't want my boss to see me take a break. Go to the bathroom and sit on the toilet if you have to. If you can't leave your desk, I have coached many of you who are eating at your desk saying, I can't, we're so busy, I'm not allowed to leave my desk and stuff. I'm like, if you're so busy, quit fucking snacking. So like, just be honest. When I'm really busy, guess what I don't have time to do? Eat and work. You know why? Because if I'm truly busy and I truly need to finish something, eating and working slows me down. So tell the truth. Don't lie to yourself. Say, I'm going to eat this and I'm going to slow down my work because I'm not as busy as I think I am. That would be way better for you to say than to sit there and pretend like you're so busy that you need to do this. It just doesn't help you stop snacking. The other thing is if you are sitting there and you are chained to your desk and you can't get up and you're bored as fuck and stuff, then you may need to reevaluate your life. I have coached several of you on, why are you not looking for a job? Why are you not going back to school? Why are you not figuring out your hopes, dreams, and goals? A lot of you sit and eat and snack through dead-end jobs because you're afraid if you put your resume out there, no one will take you. Well, go out there and get 100 no's rather than eating 100 ho-hos. At some point, like for all of you, there are just times in our life where I'm going to tell you, when you're eating, it is a signal that something needs to be examined in your life. It could be a food rule. It could be safety around food. It could be joy and pleasure. It could be fake guilt for shit we don't need to feel guilty about. You know, the only thing y'all need to feel guilty about is when you're legit doing something wrong. And for a lot of you, I would start asking myself that. Anytime you're feeling guilty, women over-index guilt way more than men do. Like if you feel guilty a lot, you need to ask yourself, am I actually a bad human? Like, am I kicking puppies, pushing old men down the stairs, like pinching babies behind their mama's back, stealing from the grocery store, carjacking? Like sometimes I think what y'all don't do is ask the obvious question. I feel guilty right now. Is this real or is this imagined guilt on my part? Is this something I would like? I know y'all aren't Catholic, but if you were Catholic or if you've seen a Catholic movie, you'll understand this. If you wouldn't go to confession over it, stop feeling fucking guilty for it. If you don't need a priest and 10 Hail Marys, what the fuck you doing? So sometimes we just have to like ask ourselves some legit questions. And I will tell you, when you stop automatically eating and you start asking some of this stuff, you will not be having a life where you feel like you never get to eat things. You know what you'll have? A life that you can build. You'll see the reality of things you can change. Your life starts improving. And as your life improves, guess what? Not having snacks feels natural instead of like you have to make yourself not eat. Stopping at enough feels like what you would just do because now you don't have that guilt running. Now you don't have these root causes things happening. That's when weight loss kicks into gear for ease. It's not hard anymore. But what most of y'all are doing is like, I want to follow the four basics while also still having no joy and pleasure in my life, while still sitting in my dead-end job, while feeling guilty for shit I should never feel guilty about, telling myself that I'm wasting food when I'm actually not wasting food, making it like if I overeat, telling myself I must be lazy and bad, Y'all, that is the hard way to lose weight. And this is why we have to like change some of those things. All right. Please address I deserve it eating due to trauma, grief, or feeling deprived because gluten hates me. First of all, gluten doesn't hate you. Here's what we need to like remind ourselves, Lee. Gluten doesn't have feelings. You do. You like, be real honest. I hate that I can't eat gluten, but gluten has no feelings towards me. Gluten sits there. Like when you're mad at the food, then you can't address the real problem, which is, oh, I'm the one hating this, which means I've now got to figure out a way to not hate this. Because here's the thing, you can eat gluten. You know what you really hate? How you feel when you do. You hate that too. And unless you actually articulate the problem accurately, you're never going to find your solution, which your solution is, I've got to make peace with not eating gluten. And I'll never get there telling myself that a food has a feeling about me. If you don't like it, then you have to start giving yourself reasons like, I may not like that I can't eat gluten, but I have 1,001 reasons why I will not be eating gluten. It won't always be easy, but I really hate how I feel when I eat it. That's the narrative. But when you're sitting around telling yourself this other narrative, you'll never solve that problem. Can you talk about finding joy in food? I used to think food is only fuel. And then I heard Corinne say something a little different, especially when food has joy in it. Listen to module 1 of No BS. I think I talk about it in there. I'm pretty sure that in the lesson where we talk about good, better, best, I talk a lot about that in there. So make sure that you've watched that. If you haven't done Basics 2.0, I know I've talked about it there too. Food is not just fuel. I've talked about it this entire thing. You need to define what is food. Food has pleasure. Food has joy, health, nutrition needs, energy needs. It has a lot of different things. And sometimes we're going to prioritize like this week, I'm just really busy this week. I'm in like creation mode and stuff. Guess what I'm not doing this week? I'm not eating candy. I'm not eating like I'm eating more fruits and vegetables. I'm eating more healthy this week because I'm prioritizing and no liquor. I'm prioritizing nutrition and energy, foods that give me like a clear brain, not, you know, like not kind of any kind of brain fog or anything. I'm prioritizing it this week because that's what's important in my life this week. When I go to Vegas, there will be a higher percentage of like, it will be, you know, probably energy and nutrition foods first thing in the morning because I'm just not one to want to eat like French toast for breakfast. I'd rather get in some good stuff for the first of the day, especially because if I'm going to drink the night before, I want to start the day feeling like I've put some good back in the tank. But the evenings will be more on the joy and pleasure side because that's what's important. So we're always balancing those things. What if the answer is I can't have the joy until I've lost the weight? So is it easier to get my joy now? So it is easier to get my joy now. You need to get your joy all along the way. That is like your thought, I can't have joy until I've lost weight, says this is what it's really saying. I have to be miserable until I lose my weight. So I come up with a lot of miserable ass thinking around food. Why it's good, why it's bad, what's hard, blah, 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 blah. The answer, like for all of you, if you actually want to lose your weight, you're going to have to make the journey easier on yourself by not saying things like, you can't have this until. Why? Because no one's ever lost weight eating foods they like. I'm promising every one of you, you're not overweight because you're eating foods you like. You're overweight because you're not thinking through your food. You're not thinking through. If you're hungry, you're not thinking through enough. You're not thinking through your emotions. If you did more thinking, then you could prioritize more joy. Without thinking and just going by the seat of your pants and instant gratification, well, you'll get more joy with a lot of back-end guilt, with a lot of back-end feeling bad, with a lot of weight gain, because you will only, like, instant gratification is very different than really experiencing joy when you eat. Instant gratification only offers relief. And you don't need instant gratification unless in the moment, somehow, you've made yourself miserable. Be looking for that. How am I making myself miserable? When I don't stop it enough, it's because I feel lonely. My partner and I recently split and I don't feel like connecting with friends. Then connect with you, Mo. You forgot there's one person in the world you need to connect with. In the moments when you're lonely, how are you going to be there for yourself? Right now, you've chosen one path, food. What other ways can you connect to yourself other than food? All right, everybody. That is it. Y'all have a good one. I'm actually not going to see y'all for two Sundays. I've been kind of going strong on the Sunday calls for the last few weeks. I am out of town at a business thing this weekend. So I will be working on Body Image Camp like a mad person for 2 days. And for two other days, I am actually working with a group of people where we are ideating and getting together a lot of things for weight loss, the weight loss business. The next week, I'm actually on vacation. This is a work week, but next week. I will be back next Wednesday, though. So I will be here on Wednesday. You will have the fabulous Coach MJ for two weekends in a row. And then I will be back for a while on Sundays. So y'all have a good one. Bye, y'all.